Mason as our missions treasurer and a trustee. Isn't that amazing? And he's trustee. We trust him with a lot around here. The Lord's really been good. So this time I'm going to ask Brother Paul Brown to come up. Paul Brown, as I said earlier, was pastor at Sherwood Baptist Church. Was it 40 years or 38 and a half years? And Paul has been a really good friend to me over the years. And he knew me before the Lord called me to preach. And he's one of the people, you know, I didn't have any kind of formal seminary training for several years after I started preaching. But I had a group of preachers that were older than me that guided me along, and he was one of the ones. Come on, brother, bring us the word of the Lord.
I love you.
Well, good morning. God is good. In Thailand, I say God is good, and they say all the time. And God is good all the time. I want to welcome some guests. First of all, my mother. I am glad to have my mother here. She lives between Shakota and Eufaula, on Lake Eufaula, with my sister. Her name is Pig. Okay? Okay. No, her name is Patty Showalter. I guess we called you Pig since the time you were little. Okay, so anyway, it's good to have them. It's good to have David Thorne here. If you saw the slides, this is the David Thorne. David, raise your hand here. There you go. And this is Brother Isaac. Okay? And so good to have them here today. Let's see. I don't see any others that came to hear me today, but I hope the rest of you came to hear the word of the Lord. God is good, as I said, and one of his blessings, he's given us this book, his word. Aren't you glad that we're not left to our own understanding? Now, we hear a lot of people saying all the time, God told me. And I found out, when somebody says, God told me, I thought, where is it found in the Bible? Okay, but God has given us his word. All of this is his word, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, was it 21? But all of it is the word of God. And I particularly love the prayers of the scriptures. Now I'm going to be reading Psalm 126 because this passage goes along with where I've been in the past 2 years and particularly the last 2 months. But in the Psalms, in the prayers of the Bible, we have prayers for every experience in our lives. They're recorded for us. You can't go wrong when you pray Scripture. You're always praying scripturally. But we must be careful. What did we sing? Can you name the songs we sang, Brother Robert? No, I'm teasing. Yeah, I'm teasing. You know, I don't want to detract from the time, but I was thinking, Brother Robert leading singing, you know. Brother Robert, you do a good job. And I remember when Robert was singing specials with John, but we go way back. But we, what a blessing. Sometimes, when I'm preaching, I'll tell you the story about Robert and Mary. But anyway, that's another story. But we must be careful to keep our minds engaged. It's easy for our minds to wander, isn't it? You know, I hope that you will follow along with me through this message. It's easy to let your mind wander. You have to really work at it. But even more so, it's difficult to keep your heart engaged. Sometimes you'll find yourself eating and you'll say to yourself, now, isn't it true? Did I pray? Now, why did that happen? Because sometimes we're on automatic pilot. And we go through the motions of worship, the motions of praying, the motions of singing, the motions of reading the Bible, but our minds and hearts are wandering away. We have to be careful. But as we come to the prayers of the Bible, they're meant not only to be studied, and we are to study them. They do have meaning, and the words have meaning, and we must know those meanings, so our minds must be engaged, but also our hearts must be engaged. And as well, our emotions engaged. What did the Hebrews do, and the early Christians do with these Psalms? Indeed, they prayed them, but also they sang them. And let me say, that's the heart being engaged, being lifted back to God. We have all kinds of experiences, as I said, in life. Sometimes we're like the children of Israel. Have you thought about that? 40 years in the desert. 40 years in a desert. Some of them lived and died from 20 years old. Those that were 20 years and older, all the males died in the wilderness. But walking in a desert, do you ever feel like you're in the desert spiritually? I mean, it's dry. Sometimes the Lord leads us there through deserts to where we don't feel the presence of God. By the way, they didn't feel it, but yet He was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. But Psalms like Psalm 63, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My soul longeth for Thee as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy loving kindness. You see, there are Psalms for every occasion. When we're depressed, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. We have those times of valleys and fears that we go through. We have times when we feel like we're in a horrible pit. And maybe it is today you feel captive to something. You feel like you're in a pit and you can't get out. A horrible pit, like he says in Psalm 40, I waited patient for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You know what that's talking about? That kind of clay that you grab and you just slide backward. No way to get out. But He brought me out. He brought me out and set me up upon a rock and hath put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall hear it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. But you see, there are psalms for every occasion. And maybe it is that today you are a captive. You know, there are many kinds of captives. There are physical captives. Saeed Abedini. How many of you know who that is? Yes, that's right. He's prisoner in Iran. He's been in prison for 3 years for what? Preaching the Word of God. That's it. Preaching. He's separated from his family. He's separated from his church. He's separated from those that he loves. He's in captivity. Yes, the Lord is with him, but that captivity is real. And we should pray for our brethren that are in bonds as bound with them. We're commanded to do that. But that's a captivity. But there are other captivities. There are physical captivities in the sense of health. So that we feel bound like that man by the pool of Siloam that could not walk and had to be carried everywhere. And we read of many cripples in the Scripture, and that is a captivity that people know, that they can't do what they want to do. They can't go where they would go. All of us know those physical infirmities, and as we get older, those things will hit us. Brother Camp longed. Sister Ruth said, as we had the funeral for Brother Camp last week, she longed. She says, we wanted to go back one more time. But it was not to be. Health would not allow. There was a captivity, something that held them there. But the greatest captivity is a captivity to sin. Sin. You see, sin has many different labels. Well, we want to say today, homosexuality is a sin. Okay? I want to make that clear. The Bible makes it clear that is a sin. But adultery is a sin. Premarital sex, that's sin. Lying is a sin. Stealing is a sin. There are all kinds of captivities that we can have in our life. And there are those, but you know one of the biggest sins in the Bible? Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. What's the first one? A proud look. I thank God I'm not like other men. We are Christians. I'm so proud to be a Christian. What did you have to do with it? I find in the Bible it was a gift of God. You are dead in your sins. But you, there's all kinds of pride that grip, and these hold us captive. Worry. Worry can be such a captivity. People held captive, what will be? Oh, living in fear. Fear is such an enemy. It binds us. But I find in the Word of God, Jesus said that He came to set the captives free. Isn't that good news? When our heart is in tune with the Lord, that's our longing, to see captives set free. That's what this psalm is about, Psalm 126. Jesus does deliver from captivity, and when He does, it brings joy. And I am happy today. I am happy not only to be here with you, and by the way, my time is very short in America. I did not come back to visit churches. I came back to get a visa because I was required by Thai law to do so, but also to see my mother, also my sister. But and I tell my children, my 13 grandchildren, children also. But children become secondary when you have grandchildren, right, Anita? But what a blessing to gather with you today. And the Lord providentially has allowed me to be here. And so I want you to consider with me this psalm that is about not only captives who have been freed, but also a longing to see other captives set free. And it might be that you're one of those captives today. It might be that you're yet in this world, following the lust of your flesh, held captive by them, and you are led unknowingly, but by the prince of the power of the air, who rules over this world's darkness. And so our longing is that every Christian should be free, but also lost sinners should know the freedom that's in Christ. But look at verse 1. We'll read through the whole psalm. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Just a simple outline here. In verses 1 and 2, we have a story. Verse 3, we have a song. Verse 4, we have a supplication. Verses 5 and 6, we have a statement. But first of all, notice the story in verses 1 and 2. And it's a story of hope. What do we do without hope? If you're a farmer and you had no hope of a harvest, would you plant? Why would you work the fields if there was no hope of a harvest? But the farmer, he labors in the fields because he has hope. Businessman, why would you labor at business if you're not going to get any income? Can't provide for your family? Why do it? No hope. We all have to have hope. What is the word without hope? Hopeless. Hopeless despair. But here, we have a story of hope. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, they were captive. We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Turned again the captivity of Zion. Zion in the Old Testament, the place where God had chosen to meet with man. The tabernacle, the temple, both pointing to Christ, who is the one mediator between God and men. But I believe there in the Old Testament pointed to Jerusalem, and there in the Old Testament temple, and that city where God met with men. But it had become captive. But for us, it refers to the people of God. Now, notice this first word, when. This word, when, is not a word of question, it's a statement, when the Lord. But when? When did He? Well, we're not told. It doesn't tell us when this took place. And different theologians studying it would give different answers to that. But God did not tell us when it occurred because it is a repeated story. You see, God's people become captives. In fact, all of us were captive at one time. But then we come to know that we're a captive. We come to dream of deliverance. God delivers us. And then what happens? Our mouths are filled with laughter. Our tongues with singing. That's the story. Joseph dreamed. Now let me say, you don't dream like Joseph dreams. Let me get that straight. You understand? You say, well, I had this dream and so this is going to happen. Well, let me tell you, your dreams are not revelations from God. Now, God may use your dreams, but you cannot write them down in the Bible and count on it coming to pass. This was a revelatory dream that God gave him, but all of us dream. We dream based upon the Word of God. We have hopes that when we're in captivity, we dream. But you see, it wasn't long after these dreams that he did come into captivity, didn't he? His brother sold him as a slave to the Midianites. He was sold to Potiphar. You know the story, as a slave, Potiphar's wife lied. A wife lied against him. He was thrown into prison. The butler forgot him, left there again 2 more years after all that time. 13 years he was a captive. 13 years. Do you think he ever dreamed about his dreams? You ever think he ever thought about those dreams? You think he ever thought about being a free man? I think he did. You see, he had hope. You and I have hope, and our dreams are based upon what God has promised in His Word. But in one day, he was taken from the prison to be prime minister. Can you imagine? Do you think he laughed? I don't know if he sat there next to the Pharaoh and started laughing, but it was in his heart. He was happy. When I was a boy, Grandpa Alexander, I don't know how old Grandpa Alexander was. Mom could probably tell us, but he'd sit down on the front row. But I remember sitting there, and as Brother, I don't know if it was Brother Cow or Brother Hamilton was preaching, but he started laughing. Ah, ha, ha! And I go, wow, what is... He was happy. You know, you get your mouth full and you open it, what happens? Whatever's in it comes out. You get your heart full, whatever's in it just going to come out. He was full of joy! And his tongue was singing. This world needs to see Christians who sing. Not just here, but from their hearts. You see, this world is watching us. And you see, God's plan for us is to take us through experiences in our life to make these Psalms experiential in our lives. Because some people will not read this book, but they look at you. And they saw it. The heathen saw it when Joseph was exalted. The Spirit of God is in him, they said. You see, the testimony. God takes you through this for a testimony for Him. The children of Israel, did they ever know captivity? No fault of their own. But they became captive slaves in the land of Egypt. Another Pharaoh arose. One day I might find myself, Mom, that's okay, the Lord will take care of me. Okay? Moms may worry a little bit. But, you know, someday I may be arrested in Thailand or in Burma or in China. Only if the Lord allows it. You see, God's in control. He is. The children of Israel became captives. What did they do? They cried unto the Lord. And don't you know they dreamed of being free as a people? They prayed. God worked. Send a deliverer. Set them free. What happened, God? The Egyptians followed them. Remember, they were helped. There they were up against the Red Sea. Nowhere to go. Mountains on two sides. Red Sea, Egyptians behind them. Where did they go? God opened up the Red Sea, took them through, drowned their enemies. And what did they do then? They sang the song of Moses. They sang it like this. They sang, and by the way, this wasn't in church, and they danced. Why did they dance around? They were happy! Why? Because God answered prayer. People, God does set captives free. He does. And when He does, there's joy. Whether it's a sinner being saved or a Christian being freed from something that has held him captive, there's joy and singing when He sets the captive free. But here is a repeated story we find in the Word of God all the way through. But then I want you to note, and let me say, I didn't give you our testimony here. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, God so clearly called me, called Susan with me to go to Thailand. We knew that. But we had no idea what we were going to face. And let me say what we found for a year and a half, God's purpose was for us to be captives. A little over a year ago, we had no friends. We had one friend that lived in another city. That was it. No friends other than that one. We knew no language. I could say, Obuja. That's all I could say. So what did crap? I could say in Thai. Only a few things. People say, okay, hello. Yes, you're glad to see me. What else? That's all I knew. Didn't know how to ask for food. We knew nothing. We had no place to go. You know, we were captives. Let me tell you, David has been doing a good work here, working with captives in other countries. There are slaves, physical slaves, all over this world today. It's a sad thing. Ours was not that kind of captivity, but we felt like captives. We had no place to go. We dreamed. We had gone there because we loved Jesus Christ. We wanted the Buddhists and the animists to know of our Savior. We wanted the churches to prosper. We wanted to train pastors. We wanted to see men sent out as missionaries from them. And yet now we're separated from all of this. And we dreamed. We dreamed. God had called us. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. We believe that He sent us, but into the harvest, how could we get there? We were in prison and couldn't get to the harvest fields, it seemed. But you know, God did something. If you weren't in Sunday school, and I just began to tell about it then, the Lord worked. In the last 2 months, it's just been, my heart has been, my mouth has been full of laughter, my tongue was singing. Why? Because the Lord answered prayers. He set those villages free that were held up, were oppressed. He set children free. Sinners are being converted. I believe God is calling men to preach, and we look forward to what is ahead. But we were like them that dream. How can this be? How can this be? God did it. That's how it can be. You see, you take God out of the equation, you are hopeless. You put God in the equation, I don't care where you are, you have hope. Doesn't matter. Unless you're in hell, you have hope. Look at that last part. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. My lawyer called me last in May. My lawyer, as I said in Sunday school, is not, he loves money. Okay. And he did some horrible things, but he called me up and like he wanted to put his arm around me. But he said, you ought to hear. In essence, he said, you ought to hear what's going around. You see, what God did for us was being spread around among the Thai people and the tribal people. They were saying, the Lord hath done great things for them. And I want you to know something, the Lord did it. Wasn't the lawyer. He wasn't any good. Judge was probably paid off against us. Everything was turned against us but the Lord. And if the Lord is with you, if God be for us, who can be against us? But let's go on quickly, and I'll move quickly on this. Look at the song. Here is our song in verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us. You know the world has a song. Listen to their music. And the root of all their music is one word repeated. Me, me, me. Now, it doesn't matter what it is. In some way, it's self-satisfaction. Of course, there are love songs. And this. But the world's music focuses, and the religious music, much of it in the world, focuses around me and what I get. But Christian, we have a better song. We have the good song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Keeps me singing as I go. Yes, we have a wonderful song to sing. And this, the world looks on. And again, as they see our lives. What are we told? Now look at verses 5 and 6. I want you to see, in verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams and the south. So the Lord answers our prayer. We sing the song of praise to the Lord. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. But now we come to verse 4, and He says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Christian, Jesus has set you free, but that does not mean that you cannot fall into a bondage. You can so easily become prey, neither give place to the devil. Now, Paul didn't need to say that, right? You know why he said it? Because it was the Holy Spirit's word to you. Don't give place to the devil, because you can. You give place to sin. You flirt with sin, you'll get a date with the devil. And you'll be in bondage, Christian. You can know captivity again in your life. Loved ones, those that we love, can become captive to drugs. Many different things. And then our lost ones. But here, we have a supplication from the heart, supplicating God, turn again our captivity, O Lord. Do it again as the streams in the south. This repeated story. You've been captive. Maybe physically you become a captive. Maybe it's a health issue. By the way, I ministered in the prisons in America for 35 years, and when Jesus set them free, they were free in the prison. But still, did they want to get out? The Lord willing, this month, week after next, I'm going to Oregon to see my daughter, but one of the former inmates lives there in Oregon, and he's free. I'm glad. I'm glad that he's there with his wife and not in prison. But captivities happen. We must put on the whole armor of God. But we must supplicate. Supplicate God for our churches, for the members, for our families. Supplicate God for our lost. And notice what he says. As the streams in the south. You see, the psalmist was praying something that was in his heart, but he expressed it by something he knew. Now, the problem in Thailand, we're teaching our children English, and they're doing very well. And my wife was teaching them some idioms, and she was saying, see you later, alligator. And they said, Goodbye, alligator! Okay, well, they hadn't quite caught it yet. But it's the streams in the south. You see, in Israel, we don't live there. But the Israelites live there. The psalmists live there. And they knew that in the south, it was desert land. It was a rocky desert land, and they had very little rain. But when it rained, it would come in torrents often. And they had those dry creek beds, which they called wadis, the streams. And suddenly these things that were dry and empty except for debris became a roaring river carrying everything in them downstream. And that's what he's saying. Lord, turn again our captivities. Set us free in that way, in a mighty way, like that mighty stream breaking everything, moving forth everything that would help it hold it captive. Be like that, Lord. Work in our lives. Set us free. That's the supplication. We must keep on praying it. Do you know anybody who is bound in sin? Do you know lost sinners? Can you not cry out for them? I was praying for them on the way up this morning, for those without Christ, my longing. Lord, set them free! And I want you to know something, when God does it, it's done! We do have a prayer, we who are saved. And here's our supplication. Our longing for the Lord to turn again. But now look, last of all, at these last two verses. Here's a statement. A statement, a promise from God. Do you believe this? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I believe that. The Apostle Paul said that, Acts 16:31. The jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? He gave that answer. It's a statement. It's a fact. Amen. Let me say this is a fact. What we find here is a fact. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I don't know exactly what the psalmist had in mind, but in my mind, as I read this passage, as I've read it through the years, it pictures to me a time of drought. When you're in a time of drought, it's a captivity. What can you do? When there's a drought, there's a famine. Brother Bill told me when he came to this one particular village where I ministered the first time that he went up there, they were animists, they had the strings, but he said there was a preacher there, there was a believer there, and he was starving. He was lying there on the bamboo floor, starving to death. And the rice field, they had no rain. They had no rice crop. And so they were starving in that village. This, I see it as a time of famine, a time of drought. The seed is so precious. There are only so many seeds. And once that seed is wasted, there's no crop. They must bear fruit. The longing for fruit. And if you have no rain for that seed as you plant it, as you sow that seed, then you will water it with your tears. You see, as a Christian in this world, we must not become hard-hearted. Amen. We must have tough hides. Whatever people say about us, but our hearts must be kept tender. Loving our enemies. Praying for them, as our Lord commanded us. But here, weeping over that seed, longing for a harvest. And he said that one who so sows, as he kneels over it, watering in due time, he shall. Now, if God says shall, do you need anything else? Well, what if he says shall doubtless? Now, it's doubtless when God says shall. But sometimes he says things like this, hold up, look back, look at it again. Did you see it? Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Why? He's bringing his sheaves with him, the harvest. Brethren, that's why we're in Thailand, to glorify the Lord, as our Lord taught us to pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I believe that present aspect of the kingdom, Christ ruling in hearts. You say, Thailand is a Buddhist country. Myanmar is a communist country. China is a communist country, atheistic country. Laos is a communist country and an atheistic country. Brethren, atheism didn't make anything. Buddha didn't make anything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We long to see God work. You say, the elect shall be saved. Yes, they shall be. And they shall be saved by hearing the gospel and believing on it. No sinner will be saved without hearing of Christ and trusting in Him. We're in a drought. We need to see God work. Our time is limited. As I've said several times now, I'm 64. I know. I'm not at the finish line. Maybe, brother. May not live past today, but I can see it. But all of us are. One day we'll stand before our Lord, and we're accountable to be faithful with what He's put in our hands. What has He put in your hands? Where has He placed you? Who has He placed you around? Is this psalm for you? Oh, that's for other people to pray. No. If you're a Christian, it's for you. And there are those around you. If your heart is in tune with the Lord that you long to set free, and maybe it's your own soul, will you not pray it? Will you not pray it that you might know indeed the harvest? Go back again. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for us. That's our heart. That's what the Lord has done thus far. He gave us a song. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. But now, turn again our captivity, our prayer today, O Lord, as the streams in the south. There are some here today that are held captive by sin. I mean right now. Right now you are. And my prayer for you is, Lord, turn again His captivity. Turn again her captivity. And do it as the streams in the south. A mighty work. But may we also say to the Lord, Lord, here's your statement. You promised, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Lord, fulfill your word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,